Appreciate the young folks and their conduct. They're on the grounds here. Just appreciate the saints, everyone. And that's a little thought that I have on my mind tonight along that line, is what makes us folks? What makes the saints different from all other people? There's one distinguished thing. There's one thing. I know there's many things. But of all the many things that consist and form and make up people of God, the true people of God, God's always had a people. God's always had a distinct people.
Yes.
Always had a distinct people. They're just not mingled. They're not mingled with it, we heard in the meeting. And even way back in Leviticus there, in old times, he said he had severed them from other people. Severed, cut them off. Severed them from other people. And so God has always had a distinct people that is separated and cut off, called out. That's what church means, I guess, is called out, separated. And that's what the Lord's people are yet today. It's not just a little group of people that have formed and followed D.S. Warner or something like that. We appreciate D.S. Warner and what he stood for and how the Lord used him and blessed him. But we're not following D.S. Warner. We're following the truth of the Word of God. And it goes way back farther than D.S. Warner. It goes way back before that. It's not something that Brother Pruitt come along and started a Faith and Victory paper. And we're kind of following along with that. That's not it. It isn't that. That's not what it is. We appreciate all that work and that effort and all that. But God has a distinct people, and they're different from all other people. They're different from all other people. I know we have a lot of customs and we have a lot of things that we kind of do like other people do. We're here in the world. But right among all of that, there's a distinguishing mark about a real, true child of God that is different from all others, all other people. I believe God only had one people. He only had one people. He only had one church. That's all he had, just one church.
Yes.
And that is of the people. That includes, of course, every person in the world that's saved. That's what makes up the church. Is everybody that's saved in the world is a part. And everyone that's saved in the world have a distinguishing mark about them. They have a distinguishing mark about them. When you get to talking to them and you get to knowing them and you get acquainted with them, and it won't take very long till you'll find there's something different about that person. There's a distinguishing mark upon that individual. And that makes it different from all others. And just to use a little scripture here, Job 32 and about 18, might use it a little out of context here, but to get a thought anyway, Job said, I am full of matter or words. And he said, the spirit within me constrains me. The spirit that in me constrains me. And that's what distinguishes the people of God from all other people, is the spirit that is within them. That's Job said, the spirit within me constrains me, keeps me. And that spirit of the Lord that constrains me, and that spirit within me, that's what distinguishes. I know movements of people that's just preaching Church of God doctrine, just like we preach Church of God doctrine. They preach one church, they preach sanctification, they preach divine healing, and they all those kind of things. But there's still many times there's something different about that than the other. Even though they may be preaching almost along the same line that we preach. But it's a spirit that is within us that constrains and that makes a difference than all other people. That's a distinguishing mark, is the spirit that's within us. the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God that we heard about this morning sound different from the flesh, but it's that Spirit of Christ that separates us from everything else. It's that Spirit of Christ that was in us, that constrains us. That's why that we live the way that we do. There's something on the inside that causes us. The word constrain means a great force. That's a great force. Constrain means something that's held back with great force. And a constraining power. So that's what is dwelling within our hearts tonight, is that Spirit of God that constrains us and lives within us. That's why that we live the way we do. That's why the saints down through the ages of time have been willing to go and die. That's what Brother Chuck, I understand, said today. I'm willing to die. I'm willing to stay. Whatever don't make no difference. He said, just whatever. If I live, I want to live for the Lord. And if I die, I'm going to die for the Lord. I think he made that statement this morning. That's why the saints of God will lay their life right on the line, and they'll put it right there, and they'll die for it. That's not in man to do that. The natural man cleaves to life. The natural man, he wants to hold on, and the natural man wants to do everything he can to preserve and hold on to life. But oh, the Spirit that dwells in the hearts of his children, that's constraining power, constraining force will cause a man. It's beyond the man. It's beyond the woman. It's a force, a power that's beyond the natural that constrains people to do the things that they do. That's got to have it. We have to have the Spirit. And the Scripture said, if we have not the Spirit of Christ, we're none of His. We're none of His. We must have that Spirit that dwells within us. Paul said over there in Corinthians, a familiar scripture we used a lot of times along this line, Corinthians, the fifth chapter, it said, for the love of Christ, the love of Christ, that Spirit that dwells in me, that Spirit of Christ that dwells in me, the Spirit for the love of Christ constrains us. That's what makes living for God. It isn't just a bunch of rules and a bunch of regulations. It's not a bunch of laws that are written down. And it's not a bunch of bylaws. You do so, and you do this, and you do that. And I know God has some laws for us to keep and all those things. But oh, it has to be more than that. We've got to have something inside. Something that's promoting us and something that's constraining us, that's given us power. No, I won't do that. I won't do it. I love God too much. There's a power in here that causes me to resist temptation. There's a power in there that when I'm tempted to do something another, no, there's a force rise up. What is it? It's a Spirit of Christ. It's the love of Christ that rises up. That's victory tonight. That's how we live for God. You can't live for God in your own strength. You can't live for God in your own power. You can't live for God in your own ability. You can't just abstain from the world in your own efforts and your own ability and your own power. No, the temptation's too great and the drawing of the world is too forceful and it's too powerful. The old flesh is too weak, as we heard today, and the old flesh is there all the time. And so it's you and I who have received and accepted and believed, and the Spirit of Christ has come into our hearts and our lives, and He lives in us and He dwells in us. And that very fact is that it's a great force that we have on hand tonight. I live for God because I love God. I don't live for God because I have to live for God. I don't serve the Lord. I don't trust the Lord. I ain't coughing all this year just because to prove something to you folks. That ain't why I'm trusting the Lord. I do it because there's something inside here that I love God and I love Jesus and I love His truth and I love His way. And that, it's not me. It's not me waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning, cough for an hour. Sometimes talk about murmuring. I'll tell you, I've had to confess a time or two, Lord. Lord, you know we're human, aren't we? But anyway, I try. You know what I do when I murmur a little bit? When I get a little bit frustrated from coughing so much, Lord, forgive me, Lord, forgive me. Now, that's not me. That's not me. I never had that kind of resistance. I was a slave to sin. I was a slave to the flesh. I had very little resistance. Well, I guess now that I think about it, I probably didn't have any. But because I would just surrender to the flesh. Every old thing had come along. I was just a prey for it. Just a prey for it. Smoke, drink. I'd be going home from work some night, and I didn't want to drink. I wanted to go home. I wanted to be home with my wife. I wanted to be home with my children. I didn't want to drink. Oh, come on, let's go get a drink before we go home. No, I don't want no drink. Oh, just come on, just one won't hurt anything. We'll go right after we have one. You're lying like an old dog between his tail, Doc. Going in, following them in there. Well, 11, 12 o'clock that night, I'd still be sitting there. Because if I got one, I couldn't stop. But anyway, I was just a slave to that. So I know that's not me. I know it isn't me resisting those things. I know it's not me that's being able to trust God for 39 years almost. I know that ain't me. And I know it's not me that it has enabled me to do the things and to resist the things that's come our way, the temptations, the discouraging things. One song I heard Brother singing, "These old eyes have seen it all." I've seen a lot of things over the years. I've met up with a lot of discouraging things. And if I'd have wanted to got discouraged and quit, I could have done it a long time ago. I've seen enough things with my own eyes to cause you just want to quit and give up. And what's the use? But there's always been something here, in here, to keep you going on, going on. Something. It wasn't me. It was the Spirit of Christ that lives in us. It's that Job said, it's the Spirit within me that constrains me, that gives me that force and that power. It's not us. It's Christ. Paul said, I live, nevertheless not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ loved me so much, and he gave me so, he forgave me for so much. He said, Ethan, I don't know all the good of what that scripture, we had a message down Holly Hill on that, I think. It ain't how much. But the scripture said, he that forgiveth much, loveth much, and he forgiveth a little, love a little, but I believe Brother Marty brought out, that's just depending on how bad you feel. But anyway, I know the Lord has forgiven me much. And I know the Lord, but it wasn't even that. I couldn't do it. I'd smoke those old cigarettes, and I was just a slave to them. Cough, you talk about a cough. Oh, I'd get up in the morning gagging and coughing and carrying on. And I'd throw that thing down. And I'd say, I'm never going to smoke another cigarette as long as I live. And within an hour's time, I'd be smoking again. I'd wake up on a Sunday morning with a great big old head hurting so bad and no hangover. And couldn't even raise my head off of the pillow hurting so bad. Bless my dear little wife, she'd bring a cool cloth and two or three aspirins and give me and kind of comfort me a little bit till I could get out of the bed. And I'd say to her, I'll never drink anymore. I quit. This is my last time that I'm going to drink anymore. Why don't you know? It'll only be just a day or two and I'd be right. Probably that same day, if it happened to be a Sunday, I wouldn't even get through the day. Thought I had to have one for my hangover. So I was a slave to that, and I'm not just using myself altogether, but I know that there was something more than me in this thing. And if you're able, if you're living victorious tonight, if you're living for God tonight, and you have the victory tonight, and you're being able to live free from sin tonight, and you're being able to live holy lives tonight, I want to tell you tonight, it ain't you. It ain't you that's done it. I guarantee you that. Because you would be a failure a long time ago. It's simply because if you're overcoming tonight and you're living victorious life and you have joy in your heart and you're able to resist temptation and you're able to resist sin and you're able to separate yourself from the world and you're able to live and serve the Lord and you're able to go on and say no to the devil and say no to the world and you're able to do that, I guarantee you one thing. That ain't you. It ain't you. It's because you have yielded yourself to God. It's because that the Spirit of Christ has come into your life and you have yielded unto Him and He lives and dwells in you and He's inside of you, motivating you and enduring you with power and with grace and with courage to get up even if you find yourself falling down sometimes. There's something in here. Oh yes, there's something in there that'll hold you up, that'll hold you up. I remember one time years ago I got so discouraged. Well, I didn't get discouraged, I got disappointed. I got really disappointed. And I was just as close to backsliding as I'd ever been. I was just ready to throw in the towel. And I was going down, I was going down. And I came in and I'd sat in the back of the church, which something I don't ever do and didn't do from the start. I always wanted to get up first, front. And so I was going down, down, down. And I had no resistance. I just couldn't pray, seemed like. And I couldn't get no inspiration that he was talking about a while ago. And I was just about going down, down, down. And I got down and I kind of visualed in my mind that I was falling down, 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 down. And I got down within about 3 feet of the floor. Now this is just in my mind, of course. But you know there was something. Oh, it wasn't something. It was the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit. Call it what you want to call it. But it was the Spirit of God. It just as sure as I'm here tonight, it got down there and got under me. And got under me. And helped me. Right there in midair. Helped me there for a day or a few days or whatever it was. Finally a brother come along and he recognized I was in a great conflict. And he got in there with me and started working with me and praying with me and supporting back, lifting me up. And I started coming back up. Kept by the power of God, the Bible said, through faith. The Spirit, that is what distinguishes the people of God from all other people. Nobody but God's people has the Spirit of Christ. Nobody. No, I don't care. You could join everything in the world. You can shake every preacher's hand in the world if you wanted to. You can make every decision or commitment or do whatever you want to do. But there's nobody that can imitate. You can't imitate the Spirit of Christ. The devil tries to, but he don't get the job done. There's something about the saints of God. It ain't something we put on. It ain't something we act out. It ain't something we have to force ourselves to do. I'm not forcing myself to keep God's commandments. There's something in me that's enabling me to keep God's commandments. Amen. Provoking me to love. Provoking me to long suffering. Provoking me to patience. Yeah, something doing that. Beyond the natural man. Job said there's a spirit in me that constrains me. Something in there that's holy enough. And all the dear saints of God, they're just so distinct and so different. You know, you just come in contact with them. Maybe you never seen them before. I've met a lot of people I've never seen before. Didn't know, and just looking at them, you'd think, well, I know some people. Their personalities are so different from mine, which I don't have any. But anyway, I know some people who are so different from me that I would not like them at all if I was still in sin. But you know, I get acquainted with them, and I feel this blending of the Spirit. And then Oh, that just breaks down every barrier, does it not? Then you have that sweet communion. You don't have to force your way to love your brother. It's something in here that is just gold reaches out. And that's the saints' distinguishing mark. They have it in something, like I said before, that nobody else, and the devil can't even imitate it. The devil can't. Oh, you say, well, them people over there, why, they're just about like the saints. Why, those people over there, why, they, well, maybe some of them are saints. I don't know. But if they're saints, they got the same spirit I've got. Yes. And if they're saints, they got the same spirit you have. Because all saints of God and all people of God, all God's people have the same spirit. Oh, we may have a little misunderstanding, a difference in opinions on some of the doctrine and the teaching through a lack of understanding and maybe through the way we were raised or our formal teaching and may we were brought up maybe to believe different or certain things like that. There's room for that. There's room for that. But God gives to every man according to his several ability, the Bible says. There's room for you to not believe everything just like I believe it. But there's no room to have a different spirit than I have. There's no, because every child of God has the same spirit. They have the same, they're all born to the Spirit of God. They're born to the Spirit of God. And they're born from above, I believe it said. And they born have that same spirit. Everybody that's ever got saved in this world had the same spirit that you have tonight if you're saved. The very same spirit. And because it's all born of Christ. And I like to think about not only that, but we have the same blood type. Don't the Bible say that we only have one Father? We only have one Father. Don't the Bible say that we only have one mother? That's all we have. One father, one mother. And we're all, Jesus is our brother. And we're all born to the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God lives within us, constraining us, enabling us to face our burdens and our problems of life. And you won't do it for something else. If you don't get that love of Christ in your heart, and that constraining power that you love God. I love God too much to forsake Him. I love God too much to give up. I love God too much to go back and sin. I love God too much to bring a reproach on His cause. I love Him too much for that. That ain't my love. That's His love. You know, my love, which I wish I had more, but my love liable to weaken sometimes. And I can't depend on my love for Him all the time. But it's His love that constrains us. It's His love to me. It's His love to you. Not our love to Him, but His love to us. See the difference? You say, well, I love God. I've heard a lot of people say, I love God with all my heart. And next time you see Him, they backslide and slid somewhere. That has a value to it. It has a force to it. But it's until you and I realize that He loved us. He loved us. It's His love that enables you and I, that constrains us. It's His love. I hope you get a hold of that. It's a valuable thought to know that the Lord been working with me all this past winter and trying to prove to me that He loves me. He loves me. I've learned more about the love of God in the last 6, 7, 8 months than it seemed me like it before. The Lord has been trying to convince, I love you. Devil saying this and so and all that kind of stuff. And the Lord trying to prove to me. I don't know how many messages I've heard in the camp meetings around about the love of God. And the Lord said, well, I told you, I love you. I love you. And the Lord been trying to prove. Well, I knew it. I thought I did anyway. But if we can get a hold of the thought that it's God's love in us. Paul said it's not me, but it's Christ in me. It's Him that's in me that enables me to do the things that I do. Don't you know it was the love of Christ that caused him to be able to go to the cross? It was him. It wasn't Christ. The old flesh was drawn back, wasn't it? And he said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Oh, I had to go a little further. Fell upon the ground. And as we know the story, and prayed again. But what was promoting him to do that? What was it that was pushing him and forcing him to go forward and face the cross, face the suffering, face the humiliation, face a cruel death? What was it? It was the love that he had for you and I that caused him to do that. That's the only reason. I believe if he hadn't had a love for human beings like us, he no doubt would have. Might not have went all the way. So that's what you and I got to have. We got to have his love in our heart that causes us to go to the cross. To go to the cross. Oh, it hurts. It's humiliating. And it's the pressure and all those things. But no, I'll go on anyway. Why? What is it? What's that thing in there making me go on? It's the love of Christ that's in me, that's constraining me. It's that spirit that's in your heart that causes you. Well, I'm so discouraged. I'm so discouraged. Things are going so bad. Oh, trouble's on every side. My old blood is so weak. I'm so worn out. I'm so tired. But then there's something there. Who was it? Jeremiah, somebody said something. I ain't going to preach no more. I ain't going to talk about the Lord no more. But oh, there was something in there. It began to burn in his bones. He begins to burn in his bones. And he began to rise up, he said. And it began to burn, so he had to let it out. He had to let it out. There's something in there. Oh, until you and I can understand how much he loves us. And you and I can get a hold of his love to us. Not so much, I want to emphasize that it's not so much our love to him, which he wants us to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. But our love don't have the constraining power that his love has. It's his love. When you can get a hold of the thought, I laid my life down for him. That's all I do. I won't do it for you. And I won't do it for nobody else. I'm not going to give up my life. I'm not going to give up my way of living just for a little old bunch of people. About the first encounter I had with the saints. Some of you heard me say this before now. We went over to Springfield, Ohio, and they have a little old meeting over there, a little old store building like. And they were a bunch of the office looking people I ever seen in there, I tell you. They were whole bunch of long dresses on, long sleeves and long hair, and they got in that little old room, and I'm in there sweating and I'm miserable, and I'm looking at my watch because the ball game is going to start pretty soon, and I was so miserable. And all that was office looking people. I have Brother Larry, you remember some of them, old Sister Moreland and different ones of them there. Oh, I thought, what a terrible look. And I told my wife when we got out and got in the car, I said, if you think I'd ever go along with a bunch of people like that, you're crazy. You're crazy. Well, I got the love of Christ in my heart. And those are the sweetest people. Yes. Old Sister Moreland, she just sat there and stood up after the meeting was already over just about. And she talked and talked, 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 talked. Old black sister. And she just talked, 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 talked. And I was so provoked at her and I couldn't stand it. And I couldn't get out the door. I was sitting back there and the door was over here. And I was so miserable. But you know, after I got the love of Christ, that old Sister Moreland just became a special person to us. I just loved her so much. And I remember Tony was a little old boy there, just a little fella. And she came by and laid her hand on his head. She said, you're going to be a preacher someday. He was just a little fella about that time. Dear old sweet Sister Moreland, bless her heart. But she would have pained the neck of me that day. But it was the love of Christ. It's that love of Christ that causes us to love our enemies. Yes, it's not normal for a person to love their enemies. The old natural man wants to retaliate and get back and take his part. But the love of Christ will cause you to constrain you to love that person. Lord, forgive them. Don't you know that's what Jesus was able to do? Don't you know His love for those poor old Jews that had crucified Him or was going to or did? And He looked on them with pity. And He said, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing, Lord. Don't you know what that was? That was the love that He had for human beings. It wasn't Him. Christ was in the flesh. He had to battle it just like we and I do, as we heard this morning. But the love of God, the love of Christ, the Spirit that is within us would cause us to love our neighbors and love our enemies. And we're not doing it trying to prove anything. I'm not trying to prove nothing to people because I'm living for God. I'm not ashamed of the Lord. I'm not ashamed to live and trust the Lord for my body. I'm not ashamed because I don't take medicine. I'm not ashamed because I don't have a television. I'm not ashamed of that. Nobody's making me do that. Ain't nobody forcing me to not have a television. Ain't nobody forcing me to do that. But I don't want one, because I feel like it would grieve the Lord. I feel like it would grieve. And the Lord, His Spirit, enables me. Not me, but it's His Spirit that within us that constrains us to go that second mile. That will cause us, no, I won't do this. If I do this, it's going to bring a reproach on the cause of Christ. I don't want to disappoint the saints either. I love the saints, they're my people. And I don't want to disappoint them anyway. But even something, there's something higher than that. I don't want to displease my Lord. I don't want to displease Him. And He has given me His Spirit in my life to enable me. To enable me. Not me, but His Spirit within me. His love. I won't do it because I love Him. No, let me change that a little bit. I won't do that because He loves me. He loves me. I won't do it because I don't want to grieve the one that loved me and that gave me His Spirit and gave me a new life and gave me a new outlook and taken my soul to heaven. Taking my soul to heaven. Lord made me to know this winter, I'm taking you through. I'm taking you to heaven. All I got to do is just rest in His love. Rest in His mercy. Oh, I don't have to even fight my battles anymore. I'm just trusting His love for me. All I do is just yield to Him. And any time He speaks to me, it wilts my heart. It wilts me down. And I just... yes, Lord. Little old puppy dog following along. Why? Because I love God. Well, I do love God. No, that it's deeper than that. It's because He loves me. It's His love to me that won my heart. It's His love to us. I want you to get a hold of this tonight. It's not a new thought with me. I've used this thought before. But I want you to get a hold of it. This is the richest thing, one of the richest things I ever got a hold of. That it was His love that was constraining me. It was His love that was living in me, enabling me to be victorious. It was His love that enabled me to resist temptations. It was His love to me that caused me to make my wrongs right. It was His love to me that caused me to get up before 1,000 people and apologize. You know, the love of Christ can a great force, constraining force, can enable you to do anything. It's a power there that you have on hand. And it'll enable you to do anything. Why? Because His love for me means more than life itself. His love that He has for me, the way He died for me, the way He gave His life for me, the patience He's had with me, the grace He's given me, the many times He's healed me, the many times He's healed my children, the many times He's provided me money from nowhere. Why, I'd be a scoundrel, wouldn't it, to turn my back on Him. Not because I love Him so much. I do love Him, best way I know how. But my love is so fragile. My love is so fragile. In fact, I didn't even know how to love until I got Christ in my life. I didn't even know how to love my wife until Christ came into my life. I esteemed her very highly. And I remember one time I told her, I said, well, she was a little bit questioned about my love. I said, well, you've got enough for both of us. We can just both live on yours. But that's not right. But we did. Something happened. Anyway, we stayed together. But, oh, when I got the love of Christ in my heart, that even changed my love for her. It wasn't me that changed. It was Christ that came in. It was Him now. It was His love that was going out. It wasn't my... I didn't have... We were kind of a cold people. I mean, my family. We loved one another, but we didn't express it very much. We still have a little problem sometimes like that. But it's His love. It's His love that won my heart. What's that song said? Thy dying love has won my heart. Won my heart. No, I know the Bible said the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And Job said, I fear God. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. You won't be able to live for God just through fear alone. You won't do it. You'll just probably fail. Trying to live for God through because you're afraid of going to hell. Or you're afraid of God. You won't be able to make it. Why do I say that? Because fear begins to lose its fear after a while. You can be afraid of something or another, but if you're around that thing long enough, you kind of lose the fear of it. But all the love of Christ. I don't serve God because I fear God. I reverence God. But I serve Him because He loves me. He loves me. And that love that He has for me is a constraining force. Oh, He went all the way, Him there in the garden, praying, not my will, but Thy will be done. That was His love. That was His love for you and I tonight, giving His life. That's why men down through the history of time had been able to go to a stake and be burned. Why? It wasn't their own. Oh, those guys must have really been strong. They must have really been bold. They must have been real Christians. No, it wasn't that. It was the love. They somewhere or another, they got a hold of the fact that Christ loved them. And before I would disappoint Him, and before I'd recant and disown Him, go ahead and turn on the fire. I'll die. Can't do it in my own power. Can't do it in my own strength. Can't do it in my own ability. But the Spirit within me gives me the power to do it with. Not my spirit, but His Spirit enables me. Won't to face the world and still be separated. And like I said in the beginning, this is the one thing people have, God's people has, that nobody else has. It's that spirit of love that constrains His people, that flows from heart to heart. You know, we can't make fellowship. We can't make unity. Can't do that. But all the dear saints of God that have yielded their hearts and accepted His love, and yielded themselves to His love, then that will cause you and I. Yes? What did He say over in Ezekiel one place? Is He going to bring them out, deliver them out of the people and so things like that? And going to bring them into their own country?
going to wash them in clear water or something like that. And said, what did he say? I'm going to put my spirit within them. And then what did he say? He said, I've caused them to keep my statutes. That God don't force people to do things. But he said, I'm going to put my spirit within them, and then that will cause them to keep my statutes. Doing it for Jesus. Doing it because he loved me so much that I'm doing it for him. Let me tell you something tonight. If you're going to make any sacrifices for God, and you'll have to if you stay faithful to God, but if you're going to preach the Lord, if you're going to wait on the sick, if you're going to wait on, take on some responsibility, the only way you'll ever be successful doing that is to do it for Christ's sake. As often you do it as unto me. It's the love of Christ in our heart that's promoting and giving us that power and grace to resist. Now the Bible said that his love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Tonight, I expect everyone in here that's old enough to understand, if I would ask you if you love God, I believe probably just about everyone of you would say, yes, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. Well, let me ask you something tonight. Do you believe the Lord loves you? Do you believe he loves you more than you can love him? He loves you. And that ought to wilt every heart in the building. And that ought to cause us to be love slaves for Jesus Christ. A love slave. Why? Because I love him? No, not necessarily, but because he loves me. I humble myself to him. I submit myself to him. I yield myself to him. I obey him. I walk with him. I do his will to the best of my ability. Why? Because of the love that he has for me. The love that he's shown. And that is a force. That is a power. Let's stand and sing that song I mentioned a while ago, His Dying Love, 233. Would you come tonight and receive his love? That's what it's all about. Receive his love. He wants to give you his love tonight. He wants to come into your heart and come into your life. And then you rely not upon your own ability, not upon your own efforts, not upon your own strength, but by relying upon his love to you, that will enable you and give you the power to resist temptations. So if you're here tonight and you have never received the fullness of his love, and let me tell you now, if you're here tonight and you have accepted and believed and received Christ into your life, and like I mentioned this scripture a moment ago, the love of Christ is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So tonight, if you're not able to comprehend his love, and it's kind of hard to do sometimes, but if you're not able to really believe, I want to tell you over and over tonight that God loves you, and Jesus loved you so much that he died for you. I told somebody a while back, you owed your life to him. You owe your life to him. We all owe our life to him because of the love that he's shown to us, not only individually, but to the world, to die and suffer and gave his life. Why did he do it? Not because he had to. They looked in heaven, they looked under the earth, they looked here and they looked there, and they could find nobody who would loose the seal and open the book. And the line of the tribe of Judah volunteered. He said, I'll go. Left the splendors of heaven from the throne of God and condescend to come down in this lowly place. Didn't take on himself the form of an angel. But he took on himself the form of a servant. And he consented even unto the death. To the death of the cross. Why? What for? For who? For you and for me. That's how much he loved us. That's that love. If you can get a hold of it tonight, and I hope this will inspire all of our hearts to get a hold of the fact that Jesus loves you tonight. He loves you. He loves you. And who is it that can resist that kind of love? Tell me, who can resist that kind of love? Let us sing tonight. If you're here, open your heart. Let His love come in tonight. He loves you. Come and pray tonight. Get your heart right with God. Let Him come in and live in your heart.